This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today. You know we love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and faith. So it is that I hope that you tune in every day at this same time, Monday through Friday, as well as on the station that you're listening to right now, so that we can have holy conversation together. And to that end, I like to give you the phone number to use. Charles Beery is our call screener. And let me give you that number. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. Charles Beery is standing by. If you are a first-time caller, please do let him know, because I love to do this. I love to welcome you in a special way when it's your first time calling in, and I do that by ringing this happy little bell for you to welcome you to the broadcast as a first-timer. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Our social media manager, Jeff Burson, will dash on out there, and he will retrieve the questions, comments, insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement that you leave for us right there in our chat feature, and he'll put it up in the on the board for me, and I'll be able to address it on the air for you. Lots of things going on. I do want to remind you about a couple of upcoming events. I'm very much looking forward to being my old stomping grounds next weekend. I'm going to be in the Tampa Bay area. I'm going to be at the Bethany Center, which is the retreat center of the Diocese of St. Petersburg. Absolutely lovely and gorgeous, sitting on beautiful property, an ideal place for a time of reflection, a time of retreat, a time for drawing near to our Lord. It is St. Timothy's Women's Conference on that day, and I am the presenter, and I'm looking forward to being with all of those lovely ladies. So if you're out in that area, please do know that I can't wait to see you. Now, I do believe it's sold out, but I've been telling you all week, you know, at the last minute, things pop up, and sometimes what happens is that makes available a position that was formerly not available. So I do want you to check in with them to see if you can attend. I'm sure there's a waiting list, and you might as well get on it. And who knows, but that we might be together there in Lutz, Florida, next Saturday. And then I want to let you know that on June 11th, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am going to be at the Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Very much looking forward to that. And I know that we've got lots and lots of you women of grace on the East Coast of Florida. My gracious sakes, our regional coordinators there are doing a fantastic job at getting the word out about our efforts. Martha Nicoli has done a tremendous, tremendous work there on the East Coast of Florida, and we've raised up others, Alicia McDermott, now a regional over in that area as well, and we want you to come and join us there at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We are going to begin at noon on that Friday with a procession of the Blessed Sacrament, followed by the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, celebrated by Core Bishop Michael Thomas. Then at 1:30 p.m., following all of that, we're going to eat. We're going to have lunch. Yes, we are, ladies. We're going to eat. We get a mangia, as they say in Italy. And then at 2 o'clock p.m., I will be giving a keynote presentation. Beautiful topic, Journey into Love, the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. I just love that. As a matter of fact, doesn't that sound like a good book title? I'm just thinking about it. Oh, well, there we go. The wheels are spinning. Journeying into Love, the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. So all of the information for all of these events is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. We encourage you to get out there. You can register right online for the June 11th event. I don't know if you can do that online for St. Timothy's because of the fact that we think it's sold out, but you can get on the list by calling the number that's listed for you there. So looking forward to seeing you for all of those events. We certainly are. Now, here we are. We are into the month of our Blessed Mother, right? And you know, I love her so much. Oh my goodness. I just love her. I love her. And the more I love her, the more she helps me to love her son and enter more deeply into relationship with him, because that's what she does. That's what a spiritual mother does. And that's what Our Lady does, because she is the spiritual mother par excellence. I mean, she is God's selection for our spiritual mother. because he selected her to be the mother of his son. And so throughout this month, I'm just reading you little insights, right, that are given to us by the great saints about our Blessed Lady. And we did a couple earlier in the week by St. Louis de Montfort, my spiritual father, I like to call him. But we now we're looking inside of a little book called Aim Higher, Spiritual and Marian Reflections of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And I shared with you yesterday a quote from this book where St. Maximilian is talking with us about surrendering ourselves to Our Lady. Why do we do that? Because Our Blessed Lady takes us directly to her son. And as Louis de Montfort tells us, it's an easy way, it's a secure way, it's a safe way, and it's a fast way. Well, if there's some way to get deeper into the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in an easier way and a secure way and all of that other good stuff that comes with it, I want to go that way. I like to say that Mary is like the people mover in the airport, you know? You get onto that people mover and it moves you quickly through that airport, right? Well, Mary moves you quickly into union with her son. She is the people mover of hearts, right? So she takes us to her son. So I read that to you yesterday about that bit about surrender. But here is what I want to read to you now with regard to that by St. Maximilian Kolbe. Whoever has surrendered himself to the Immaculata feels that he depends upon her in everything. He no longer belongs to himself, but truly to her. The Immaculata, the Mother of God, who is the true and gracious Queen of heaven and earth. He says, we have surrendered all to the Immaculata. Her plans are ours. Her virtues, merits are all ours. All depends on whether we will it. Extraordinary prayers or mortifications are not necessary. We have only to let her lead us on. And then he says this, in order to persevere and advance in this surrender to the Immaculata, you must continually refresh your mind with these truths and your relationship to the Immaculata, either from a suitable book or from a meditation or the like. For the most part, though, this will be dictated by the Immaculata herself during humble prayer. So if you haven't spent time with Our Lady today in a time of prayer, I want to encourage you to do so. You're taking nothing away from her son by doing so. As a matter of fact, it makes the heart of Jesus rejoice when his mother is exalted and lifted up. And so instead of taking you away from our Lord, actually, your union with him increases because Mary procures from her spouse, the Holy Spirit, every spiritual blessing and grace in the heavens that you need to make it so. And so I invite you, spend some time with Our Lady today. When you say that Hail Mary, don't just dash through it. Ponder it. And imagine her sitting right there. And imagine yourself in the role of Gabriel, St. Gabriel the Archangel. And you say, Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. And ponder the fact that when you're with Our Lady, you're with our Lord. And see what happens from there. When we come back today, we have a special guest with us, Father Ben Cameron, a Father of Mercy, is with us. He is going to be our concluding episode guest, if we want to put it that way, for our Campaign for Life Week. And we're going to be talking about healing after an abortion. So a lot coming up. When we come back from our break, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy you're with us today, and I'm looking forward to receiving your phone calls. The number to use toll-free for you right here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. Charles Beery will answer your phone call. If you're a first-time caller, please let him know so I can ring my bell to welcome you. We also have EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you, too. The chat feature is there precisely for you to put your questions or comments in. And Jeff Burson will dash on out there and get them and put them up. If you're a first-time submitter, do let us know that as well, because we want to welcome you with that same ring-a-ling-ling-ling-ling. We want to ring our bell for you too. We certainly do. This has been an absolutely amazing week here on Women of Grace. It's been our Campaign for Life week, and we've just heard tremendous testimonies. We've gotten wonderful phone calls. We've been able to put out a whole lot of information that's most useful and helpful to people. And we realize that for numbers of you listening right now, either you or someone you love has procured an abortion, or in some cases, perhaps you've been one who has helped them to procure that abortion. It's a very difficult thing to realize what it is that we've done and then to seek the healing that we need. But there are opportunities for healing. And today we have with us a beautiful priest, a beautiful man of God, a father of mercy, who becomes a conduit for God's mercy in the lives of so many people through the work that he does through the Fathers of Mercy. And Father Ben Cameron has for years been involved in post-abortion healing. And he's done this primarily through Rachel's Vineyard. And the need has been great, but the gratification greater still. Because God never can be outdone in our generosity. And what is it that he wants to do? He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to set us free. He wants for us to experience that redemptive grace that forever flows down Calvary's Hill into our lives. And Father Ben today is going to be available through the program. We want you to call. If you have a story that you want to relate, or if you have a question that you want to ask, if there's an issue in your life that's going on with regard to this, or any other matter that would be connected to this, we do want to hear from you. We have phone callers, and we've asked them to hold because I want to talk with Father so that you can get to know him a little bit better. But in addition to that, so that he can share with us about this mercy of God that the Father wants for us to receive. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can call us today. If you're outside of North America, we have a number for you. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. You're also welcome to use that number if you're in the Birmingham area. Father Ben Cameron, welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am so happy you're with us today. Thank you for accepting our invitation.
Thank you for inviting me. Glad to be with you.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, it's true. I mean, God, you know, it's like he looked at you and he said, this is the priest to help heal the hearts of my people. And he puts you in the midst of an apostolate here, within an apostolate, really, that ministers to the hearts of those who have had abortions or have helped to procure abortions for others. And my goodness, there is such a need for this kind of healing today. And God wants us to be healed, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I believe that God wants to heal every wound that would keep us from living out the first and greatest commandment, to love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if that wound is abortion, if that wound is some kind of a sexual sin or some kind of violation, God wants to heal that. And he can heal it. He is the divine physician.
And you've seen this over and over again in the work that you've done with Rachel's Vineyard. And this is a marvelous outreach to women. There are many now post-abortive outreaches to women ministries. Project Rachel, of course, Vicki Thorne, the founder of that. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard. And Teresa Bonapartis, the founder of Entering Canaan and Lumina. And there are more. Because I think God just sees the need so great because abortion continues to happen, and it's becoming easier and easier to procure an abortion. And what people do not realize is this is not the solution. It's not the fix, and it comes with a great deal of baggage and consequences that are sometimes carried throughout a lifetime. What have you seen in your work with post-abortive women and men?
Well, there's a tremendous wound from abortion, and for a lot of people, that wound is buried. It's so painful. Teresa Burke talks about this and some of her writings and her lectures, but the wound is so deep, so hurtful, that people have to kind of bury it in order to survive for a while. And so we often will see people who it's been 20, 30 years, and they're finally coming to realize that the chaos in their life all goes back to that choice of abortion. I've had retreats where every single woman on the retreat was 20, 30 years from her abortion. It's a very deep wound, a very deep trauma, because one of the most intimate things that a woman has is the life of her child growing within her. And to have that suddenly taken away, not through a natural thing like a miscarriage, but which is traumatic enough, but through the choice of abortion, whether she herself chose it or whether she was pressured. And that's something we're seeing a lot, is that a tremendous amount of women, maybe over half, are under tremendous emotional, psychological pressure from others to have an abortion. And so it's like they've had their arm twisted, and yet they're in a tremendous amount of pain from that. And the same thing with fathers. A lot of men realize that either they failed to try to protect their child, or they tried to protect their child and they weren't successful. There was no legal recourse. And so what's most dear to the heart of a man is providing and protecting for the woman he loves and his children. And that's been taken away. And so there's this deep wound to a guy's sense of manhood. And so these wounds, our Lord wants to heal them. And we could work on it just from a human point of view, but ultimately God is the healer. And we can use the human means, psychology and things like that, but ultimately we have to bring that wound to Christ. And that's what we do in Rachel's Vineyard. I know that's what Entering Canaan does. That's what people try to do with Project Rachel, with one-on-one counseling. But we have to come to Christ, the divine physician. We have to open our hearts and souls and encounter him and let him touch us with his merciful love.
Father, you know, you state that so beautifully, and I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, oftentimes within the secular institutions that we have available to us, you know, psychology, etc., there's no room for the grieving or the healing that needs to take place through abortion. And there are some reasons for that. Number one, because it has become so much a part of our culture, so much you know, an acceptable practice within the culture. While it's distasteful, people will not deny that it's useful. You know, and that's it's a very utilitarian thing. And so, you know, counselors, you know, try to explain oftentimes to a woman or to a man, well, you shouldn't feel badly about this. I mean, this is perfectly all right, you know, and they'll give that cultural narrative on this whole area. And then another reason is because, you know, when you look at the statistics of the number of individuals who have had an abortion or participated in an abortion, the numbers are staggering. And many times you're talking to somebody who hasn't healed from their own abortion or from their own involvement with an abortion. And so there's a defense mechanism that comes up. So, you know, these outreaches, as you're describing, and this need to bring it to Jesus, he is the one who understands completely and has made provision for the healing through his sacrifice on the cross. You know, we just really want to encourage you, if you've gone through something like this, listen to what Father is saying. You know, you can never exhaust the mercy of God. He loves you too much to leave you in this misery. I want to ask you a question that based on something that you said, excuse me, in your comment. And you talked about, you know, sometimes it's 20, 30 years. You had one retreat where all of the women, you know, had spent those decades post-abortive without seeking help. And you said they don't make the connection to the chaos in their lives to that abortion. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that for a moment. Tell us about some of the aftermath of abortion and the consequences.
Well, basically, there's 27 different known effects of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and every single one of them can be seen in a woman or a man involved in abortion. Really, a lot of people have gone through a very traumatic event, and they're suffering PTSD. So some of that is things like a feeling of alienation from God, alienation from their partner. Sometimes that they thought that, you know, having this abortion was going to help their relationship because they weren't ready yet, but it actually broke the relationship. Sometimes it'll bring about an alienation from family, especially if a family member was involved in pressuring them to have the abortion. I remember a situation where a man brought his daughter to a retreat and said, "I want my little girl back." Never realizing that he was the reason his little girl was hurting so much.
Oh my
he
goodness.
Was the one who pressured her to have the abortion. He actually needed the retreat more than she did. You're going to have these type of breaks. And when something like this happens, it can break a relationship or seriously wound a relationship. Sometimes people, you know, with effects of PTSD, they can't stand the sound of a vacuum cleaner. You know, they can't stand a smell that they smelled while they're in the abortion clinic. There's all kinds of things. And then a lot of time people, you know, there's drug abuse, there's alcohol abuse, there's sometimes attempted suicide, all coming from that depression, that sense of loss. And sometimes it takes people a long time to realize that. Sometimes a parent becomes a helicopter parent for their future child, the children they have later on. Or sometimes they're not attached enough to the child that they have later on because they're trying to cope, you know, because if they get too attached, they feel like then they'll have that attachment to the one that they lost. So there's just all kinds of ways that the abortion can manifest and that grief and that pain. And that's part of the problem too, is people are in grief and grief that is not addressed, that is not allowed to be truly felt and experienced and worked through. That grief is just like a buried animal that is trying to get out and comes out in all kinds of ways that, it can take a long time for a person to realize that this is the source. This is where it all started. There's just such a multitude of ways that this type of thing happens, you know. But it's beautiful how God will bring people, you know, to that point where they are ready to come. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just say why it's not just, okay, I go to confession, and I maybe go to adoration, and then everything's fine. Abortion didn't take place in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Abortion took place in a context of with the family, with relationships, and there's a break not only from God, but a sense of break from the church, from the body of Christ. And so one of the things that happens with Rachel's Vineyard, and I'm sure it's what happens with Fincher and Canaan as well, because they do it in a group setting, is as you're going through the healing and encountering Christ and getting ready for the sacraments or maybe reconnecting the heart, even if we've done the sacraments before, but you're involved, you're touching the suffering body of Christ and other people who have been there and gone through the healing, and people who maybe hadn't been there but went through the process and were called by God into that. And so that context of the church in a microcosm, being there with you in that journey, helping you on the healing process, walking the road with you, is very important in a person's healing. It didn't happen by one person all by themselves, and the healing doesn't happen with a person all by themselves. We need the body of Christ to be involved. And that's why we really encourage people to make a Rachel's Vineyard or, you know, an injured canine retreat or something of that sort.
You know, it's very beautiful what you're saying there, because I have an image in my mind. And of course, when we think of Holy Mother Church, this mystical body of Christ, she's the feminine, right? The church is the bride of Christ. And in a certain sense, in that community environment, as you make that comparison to, you're touching the suffering body of Christ, this is the church, this is the, you know, mystical body of Christ, she's there as mother. You know, that community becomes that spiritual mother, you know, in a mystical sense, I think, that helps to nurture new life in the heart of the person. That part of the person where life has been snuffed out emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, becomes rekindled. You know, it's a resurrection of sorts. And that's what the healing process is. It's a resurrection of those areas of our hearts that have been, you know, killed really by decisions that we make, whether it's abortion or something else. It holds true. We have just 90 seconds to go before we go to the break, and I'm reluctant to throw a question to you, but I'd like you to ponder this, if you would, Father, and address it when we come back. And friends, we're looking forward to your phone calls today. Maybe you've been through the process. Maybe you've been through Rachel's Vineyard. Maybe you've been through another outreach that has helped for you to achieve a certain kind of fulfillment in a healing process for this deep wound. It helped you to accommodate life around it so that you can move forward in a new way. We want to hear from you, and we'll take all of your questions about this topic. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Father Ben Cameron is here for you today, and this program is for you. Also, Father, here's the little question I want you to think about. It seems as though many people, and most abortions today, are not a singular event, but many of the abortion totals come from people that are getting a second, third, fourth, fifth, maybe sometimes even a tenth abortion. Think about that. Talk about it when we get back. We're going to be right back. Stay with us, friend.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. We're happy to be with you today, and we're inviting you to give us a call. We've got one line left open, and I think it's got your name on it. I do. So please do call in. Our guest today is Father Ben Cameron, and this is the concluding episode here on radio for our Campaign for Life Week, and we're talking about healing after abortion. And Father Ben Cameron is just, I think, a beautiful example, conduit of grace for us. As we think about the beautiful way in which God wants to bring healing and wholeness into our lives, no matter what has taken it from us. If you have suffered from an abortion or helped someone to procure an abortion, there is healing, there is hope, there is new life, there is mercy. And we want you to know that. And that's what Father's sharing with us about today. So we invite you to call us. Perhaps you have a story to tell, or you want to ask Father a question. Here is the number for you to use. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can call in toll free. Here in North America, 1-205-271-2985 is the number if you're outside of North America, and you can use it if you're in the Birmingham area as well. That's 1-205-271-2985. Also available for you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I'm giving you a little wave because you can see me. It is also the last episode today on our television program for this Campaign for Life Week. We air at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and today is a live show. It's an hour long. I have some very special people with me. Vicki Thorne is going to be with us from Project Rachel. Teresa Bonapartis is going to be with us from Entering Canaan. And a very, very special person that I love very much is going to be with us as well. So I'm going to let that mystery guest hang out there for you. And I do hope that you'll join us for that program. Well, just as I suspected, Father, the phone lines are all full. As we take calls, however, a line opens up. So don't hesitate to continue to call in. Father, when we went to the break there, I asked you about this reenactment through a second or third or subsequent number abortion in the lives of many people that have had a first abortion. And Teresa Burke talks a lot about this at Rachel's Vineyard. Why do you think that occurs?
Well, there's two possible reasons. One is some people use abortion just as a regular form of birth control, but that's actually the that is the more minor reason. The main reason, it's called traumatic reenactment. Mm-hmm. A person who has suffered through a trauma sometimes is trying to fix, subconsciously, unconsciously trying to fix the trauma. And so they go through the same motions. You know, they'll go and have premarital sex with a person who they shouldn't choose, you know, isn't a good candidate for marriage. And then they'll find themselves in the same situation, and they'll think that, okay, I'm going to be able to have the baby this time. But then they find themselves that they're still in that situation that they can't really handle it. You know, they're not equipped at this point, and they're not emotionally equipped. And so they do it again, and it becomes a cycle, but it's a psychological thing. It is not a saying this person is more evil or a more bad person than anybody else. They are suffering from a known psychological effect mm-hmm. that can happen. And yet there's wound after wound after wound after wound. But the good news is our Lord Jesus can heal us no matter how many wounds we have. He doesn't say, oh, well, I'll heal one abortion, but I won't heal five. And I have a dear friend of mine who had four abortions before she came to the Lord. And she was the most put-together woman I've ever known. And another woman who'd had five before her conversion and then was able to relate. She told me that she asked the Lord, why don't you take my wounds away? What was revealed to her is that Jesus' wounds are still on his body, but they're glorified. And he wanted to glorify her wounds. That woman is now a cloistered nun.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how much God worked in her life, that he brought her to the point that she's now a cloistered nun.
Oh, my goodness. May God be praised.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, that also tangentially holds true for, you know, individuals who have been sexually abused, that oftentimes that reenactment takes place in their lives. And, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of these choices and decisions that are made from wounds that have occurred that haven't been healed, you know, that lead to promiscuity, which leads to the situation that we're talking about today. Right. And also, too, you know, the father wound, women that have not been fathered properly, you know, seeking that love that they should first know from a dad, you know, it doesn't come. And then they seek it in other ways and find themselves in this situation. So, sometimes right. there's this very layered effect that you're talking about. I want to get to Bill. Right. He's been holding since the beginning. Bill's in Buffalo, New York, Father. He is listening to us via 101.7 FM, Station of the Cross Radio there. And Bill, you've got somebody that you want us to pray for, a friend who has a tumor. Is that correct?
Yes, Janet. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you just fine.
Okay. Yeah, my friend Jim had told me that he was having scheduled for surgery today for a benign tumor on his pituitary gland.
Okay.
And yesterday I had gone to Our Lady of Victory Basilica. They have Father Baker there who founded the Basilica and is up for canonization. And I was praying because the reading just the day before was Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for what you will and it will be done for you. And I prayed that Jesus would heal it miraculously and it be Father Baker's miracle. I don't know what's happened, but if that has happened, praise God. If it hasn't, I just ask you to pray for Jim for a good healing.
Absolutely. Father, would you lead us in a prayer for Bill's friend Jim?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, we ask you to send your healing grace upon Jim, and we ask that if it be possible that this be a miracle for the glorification of your servant, Father Baker, who did so much in helping orphan children and in bringing devotion to our Blessed Mother. We ask that you bless Jim and give him hope and healing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bill, so very much. And when you get word on your buddy there, just please let us know, okay? We would appreciate hearing.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you for being such a good friend. Okay, Father, we're going to get to Mary. She's in Cumberland, Pennsylvania today. Holy Family Radio is the way that she's with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Jeanette. Good morning, Father. I am just calling in to support what you're putting out there today because I've been part of the team on Rachel's Vineyard a number of times, and what you see and the healing and the love and the mercy and everything that goes on in those retreats, which it's exhausting for the teams just because there's so much going on and everything, but it's so enlivening. And, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody's Catholic, Protestant, no faith, if they're a grandparent that is mourning the death of their grandchild, whatever is going on, it is all God's love and the acceptance and no judgment whatsoever of the women, just because everyone that is there, as far as the team, and eventually all the participants, at least that's my experience, become just so involved in the mercy of Christ and just the love of God. And the love of God in that, except for God wants the best for us, that's the judgment that God has for us, you know, beyond the end judgment, but you know, the judgment isn't there as far as demeaning anyone or whatever their life story was that brought them where they are. It just is wonderful. And one other extension of ministries like this is, and it's probably obvious, but we've had multiple people that they said that they got pregnant a second time and they went through with the pregnancies and just the healing that was added in that. You know, they didn't even go to that second or third or whatever abortion. Mm-hmm. It just, it's a fabulous ministry to be, and it's a joy. Just lovely.
Well, Mary, thank you so very much. I think that you know, really and truly have the experience to speak on this topic based on what you have given of yourself, you know, in this generous way to being on the teams at Rachel's Vineyard. And Father, I guess that Mary probably is echoing what many others would say.
Yeah, everybody I know who's worked on the teams just finds it to be one of the most amazing things that we're able to be there. We're able to witness the mercy of God. We're able to see the power of His healing grace. We watch people come in on Friday evening extremely wounded, sometimes very closed down emotionally, trying to just barely hang in there. And by Saturday evening, we're seeing them, you know, like bursting in the flower. And by Sunday morning, it's just like the joy on people's faces is just, it's complete transformation. Mm-hmm. It's like Good Friday to Easter Sunday, that big of a transformation happening. Mm-hmm. And in fact, our retreats kind of are based on the Triduum in a certain sense in that, you know, because we know that it's, kind of a Good Friday to Holy Saturday to Easter experience for people. Parallel to that, you mentioned something, Jeanette, about the sexual abuse wound. And yes. Teresa Burke, who founded Rachel's Vineyard, also founded Grief to Grace, which is a retreat for healing of sexual abuse. I had the honor to go and participate in one of those about a year and a half ago as a retreatant. I was not part of the team, but I went through the process along with, you know, another 17 people or so. And amazing the healing that happened, that I experienced in my own life, that I saw other people experience in their lives. I just wanted to put that out there because sometimes a lot of the people who have abortions, they have suffered sexual abuse or the father wound, and sometimes that sexual abuse wound is so deep that they really need something more than what Rachel's Vineyard can give, and Grief to Grace provides that, and I'd like, you know, people to be aware of that as well.
Oh, thank you so very much, Father. That's such valuable information. And where can they get information on Grief to Grace and Rachel's Vineyard? I'm sure right there at the Rachel's Vineyard website.
So Rachel's Vineyard, best thing is rachelsvineyard.org. And Grief to Grace, it's grieftograce.org.
Beautiful.
So, just very simple website. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, and it's true. I mean, again, we act out of things that we don't know we're acting out of because have not been addressed. And God is so patient in this way. You know, you mentioned earlier that sometimes it's 20, 30 years before people are ready to deal with this. And there's a reason for that. You know, I think that God knows us, and he reveals a little bit at a time, lest we be crushed by the weight of what the deal is, right? So he brings things slowly into the light, lest we be so blinded from the light that we retreat into a deeper hole, you know, into a deeper darkness. So he's very gentle in this healing process. Let's go to Reg. Reg is with us in Dallas, Texas, Guadalupe Radio. Good morning, Reg.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
I'm calling to talk to you about my healing from abortion experience. I am a graduate of the Rachel's Vineyard. My current, and I like to refer to her as my only real wife, went with me, and it helped me in so many ways. I thought I would have been over the problem, but it helped me to name my child Elizabeth, and it helped me to see her now as a person instead of just an abortion. And it made such a big difference for me. But also, after that, I was approached by a number of people here in Dallas with the Catholic pro-life community and asked if I would participate in something that was designed for men only called Project Joseph, which we've been doing here for 6 years now. And Project Joseph is necessary. Because, you know, for every abortion, there's at least one man involved. And it's just a biological imperative. And so many of those men, just their pain is ignored, not only by other people around them, but by themselves. Because abortion is one of those things that makes men powerless, frightened, and confused when what they need to be is strong, brave, and true. And worst of all, it makes them feel alone. Well, with Project Joseph, we're by men and for men only. Because even though the pain of a man isn't deeper or stronger than the pain of a woman in the same situation, it's different. And men heal differently than women do. And there are some things men can only say to other men. Mm-hmm. In a situation like that. I'm not putting down Rachel's Vineyard at all. It was a powerful and wonderful experience for me and for the other men involved. But with Project Joseph, we deal, we have therapists and clergy and other men who have been through the experience. Mm-hmm. Almost all of our team are graduates of Project Joseph. Mm-hmm. And with it, we try to deal with the wounds there and through the grace of God, get them to open up their hearts for forgiveness and acceptance, even if they've been absolved through confession. So many of them hold on to that. And it's not a scrupulous thing. It's just the nature of the wound.
Yeah.
So we
well,
try
Reg,
to take
this...
them.
No, I was simply going to say that. Go ahead, finish your statement. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we actually have a Project Joseph coming up this next August on the 28th and 29th. It's going to be our first two-day retreat. We've expanded it, and we're looking forward to getting the word out to men who need this healing, mm-hmm. and who are just finally realizing. It took me 15 years.
So where could if somebody's in that area or even outside of that area, and they wanted to get information about this retreat, how would they procure it?
Okay, they can go to projectjosephdallas.org, which is the website that has information about it, or they can call our hotline, which is 469-270-CARE, C-A-R-E, which is 2273.
Very good. Well, Project Joseph Dallas dot, and what was the extension, .org.com?
.org.
.org. Okay. And we want to repeat that because this sounds like a beautiful outreach. And of course, you know, I'm smiling because it's the year of St. Joseph. And, you know, this has been going on longer than this year. But the fact of the matter is St. Joseph very much, I think, wants to be a part of the healing process in the hearts of these, you know, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And oftentimes when a husband is healed, there's a repercussion that takes place throughout the family just when a wife is healed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said something there, Reg, that I want to come back and ask you about, Father. You know, I know that it is very common practice to name the baby. And how is that? And I think Reg put it so beautifully there when he stated that, you know, it personified, it spoke the truth about the abortion. Yeah. This was a child, and this child deserves a name. And there's also something in naming that gives a certain authority. So share with us a little bit about the benefit of that psychologically.
Well, I think Reg put it really well, and you did as well. There's this the fact of saying that this is a person, this person has a name. We also can begin to talk to that person because we have hope as the church's funeral liturgy for an unbaptized child does. It holds out hope for that child being in heaven, and we believe that God wills all to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. So God would provide a way for these children to be with the Lord. So it gives us this this connection and something to look forward to, getting to know this person when our time comes to cross to eternal life. But it's something in Rachel's Vineyard, it's something we take to prayer and really ask God to help us to see and to know that person and who that person is. And then the name comes out of that, you know, so there's this experience of getting to know the child. And it's extremely important and very healing part of the process.
And another thing that Reg mentioned that I want to talk about too, you know, absolution absolves us of the sin, but we certainly well know that the temporal effects of sin remain. And so absolution is reunites us to our Lord and also to his mystical body, to the church. But that doesn't mean that healing is over. We need to move forward with the grace that we've received there and let God continue the good work he's begun in us, right?
Right. And it's the same idea as why the church has indulgences, is because the healing of that, the wounds and the temporal punishment due to sin is something that is ongoing beyond the forgiveness of the sin itself and the remission of the eternal punishment due to sin, you know, so... mortal sin and venial sins are forgiven in confession, but there's still those effects of sin. And so the retreat process helps us to be a lot of it. I'll put it this way. We know sometimes in our head that we're forgiven. We know it by faith, but sometimes we have trouble fully experiencing it in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so the process and the encounters with Christ and, Rachel's Vineyard is the only one I have direct experience of, so that's the one I have to speak to. But we have encounters with Christ over and over again in the living scriptures where we're meeting Christ in those scriptures. We're experiencing him. We're entering into those scriptural experiences and putting ourselves, meeting Christ in them. And in those encounters with Jesus, we begin to get more and more and more healing. Mm-hmm. And what always amazes me is how it will be a different living scripture that will break down through a barrier with each different person making the retreat. Wow. And then, you know, you have these breakthroughs where, you know, this one, that a wall just came crashing down for somebody. Mm. And now they're able to spring forward with a lot of progress and healing. Beautiful.
Well, Father, here we are, you know, and you hear that music. We're at the end of the program, and we didn't get to everybody. And that tells me that the need for a program like this is very, very, you know, key. So I want to ask you if you'll come back. You know, can we get back in touch with you and do a follow-up to this sometime soon?
Absolutely. We would love to do so. Yeah,
terrific.
You.
Well, friends, we're going to be back with Father Ben in the not too distant future as soon as we can arrange it, right? And we'll take your questions then. It's been great being with you. Visit our website, see what we have for you in the Campaign for Life area there. May God bless you. Bye-bye now.